good morning, Preston Wood. How are you today? Let me be the first to say happy Thanksgiving to you. It's coming. You got your pies, recipes out, everything ready. My wife bakes. I'm so happy. It's good to see you today. Why don't you stand together? And there's power in bringing gratitude to the Lord, right? He says, enter his gates with what? Thanksgiving. Enter his courts with praise. Be thankful to him and bless his name. Gratitude is the garden where joy grows. Okay? If you want more joy, speak more thanksgiving. Thank you, Lord, for salvation. Thank you that you're with me today. Even if I'm in the difficult circumstance, you're going to work all things for my good and your glory. So we're going to teach you a new song. It's about pouring out our thankfulness. It says, let the redeemed of the Lord do what? Say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord. Okay? So it goes like this. I need to get your blood flowing. Come on.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing of his promises evermore. Pour out your thankfulness, let it overflow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
It's easy, right? How many are thankful today? Come on, put a hand up. Got so much to be thankful for. All right, let's sing this one more time. Here we go.
Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing of his promises evermore. Pour out your thankfulness, let it overflow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Oh, let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
All right, now you know it. Here we go. Bring you a thankful heart today, Lord.
Led me out of the desert, brought me into its streams, river of living water. Turned my bitter into sweet, I own my burdens lifted. It took the shackles off my feet. Oh, there's no sound louder than the captive set free.
Here we go.
So let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Sing of his promises evermore. Pour out your thankfulness, let it overflow. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so.
Oh yeah. Gonna say.
There is joy in the morning, springing up in my soul. This life we're living, 'cause it calls me his own. There's a hallelujah after sweet victory. Oh, there's no sound louder than a captive set free.
Of his promises ever.
Well, as you see, the stage is set almost for the gift of Christmas, and we're getting ready for a wonderful Thanksgiving and Christmas season, and we gather today with grateful hearts, don't we, for all the blessings of God upon our lives and families. And this Thanksgiving week, we just pray that you have a great experience just giving thanks to God. And as we were thinking about giving thanks today, I wanted to bring before you our pastoral team. And after this service, we have a ministry that's called the Fellowship of Comfort, in which we invite people who have experienced sorrow and grief in the last year, the death of a loved one in their family, for a time of prayer and encouragement and comfort. And so when I was thinking about that, I said, what a good time for us just to bring everybody in who's on our ministerial or pastoral team who leads us. Now, our church, so many people serve as ministers in this time, whether it's a Bible fellowship class, a life group, or whether it is our fine ushers who often serve and minister during funeral services, or whether our deacons who are visiting hospitals. You know, Prestonwood is a very large church, but our personal ministry with people who are hurting and helping ministries, the ministry to the bereaved and the grieving, the ministry to those hospitalized, those who are in nursing facilities, adult care facilities, I could go on and on, those who have addictions. This church is committed to making sure that everyone is loved and cared for. And it's never about the crowd. We love when many people come. People say, well, I don't like a big church. Well, I tell you what bothers me. It's not a big church. It's a small church not reaching people, or a big church not reaching people. When you think about the millions of people who are lost without Jesus Christ, smallness bothers me. Bigness doesn't bother me that much. But with a big church, we want to make sure that it's never about the crowd. It's always about the one. And that you won't get lost here. And a big part of that is on us, and a big part of that is on the individual to make sure that you are connected in a small group, that you're connected with friends. You know, we actually have people across this beautiful worship center today who serve as section hosts, and their goal is to make sure that everything goes well in that particular set of pews. But with all that said, I wanted to introduce to you our team. And working with me directly in the pastoral care side of things, I'm going to start with Foster Bridges, who is my pastoral intern. He just moved here from South Carolina. He was raised in South Carolina. He got to Texas as soon as he could, and he's now a seminary student, and Foster's doing a great job. And we teach all of our interns how to serve, how to minister, how to care, how to visit, all those things. And then Michael Perrin, who heads our life recovery ministry. What an important role and responsibility this is to help people who are hurting because of addictions or emotional or spiritual, ultimately, problems in their lives. So thank you, Michael, for serving. And we're just grateful that no one should be left out here. And then there's Charles Hebert. And Charles heads up our pastoral care funerals in particular, specifically. He works with us. Charles has been on our team a long time. I get so many encouraging words, Charles, about you from families. He meets with grieving families. We've had about 90 to 100 funerals this year. And that's a lot of people. And these are not all our members. Many of them are or related to our members. But we're committed to taking care of people and praying with them and serving them during a time of great need. And Charles is a big, big part of that, along with hospital care. And then this is Jonathan Teague. Dr. Jonathan Teague is an associate pastor, senior associate pastor. And he gives oversight with me to the pastoral team and serves as well and is part of our preaching team, does funerals and all the rest. And then there's Sandra Saunders, who is a key player. Sandra, how long were you children's minister? 34 years. And when she came to us and said, after 34 years of serving children, and before that, serving children, before Prestonwood, she said, well, it's time for me to do something else. I said, okay, then let's do pastoral care. And so she's been visiting and serving and calling and reaching and doing projects and working in our pastoral care ministry. She's got the energy of about 10 people. And she just keeps serving the Lord and doing a great job, Sandra Saunders. And then Neil Jeffrey, who is associate pastor, preaching associate. And Neil does so many of these funerals and, of course, Bible teaching and preaching and counseling. And Neil's, he beat me here. He's 35, 6, 7, 8 years, 38 years at Prestonwood, started as youth minister. But here's the thing. We are doing so many funerals. Like a couple of weeks ago, we had 10 funerals in 9 days. And Deb and I were talking. We said, we just need to really pray for Neil, for Charles, for all of this pastoral team, because to bear those burdens every single day, to be constantly praying and serving grieving people and wiping tears and dealing sometimes with conflict in families and just a lot of things go on. And then just that ministry to bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ, as the scripture says, which is the law of love. That is great. Now, nobody's complaining. Everybody appreciates the opportunity to serve and to do this. But I don't want us to forget to pray for these and to lift them up, and because know that every day they're doing something to help people and leading our church to do the same. So if you join me in praying for these, would you say amen right now? And just please let them know when you see them that you love them. And I pray that, when and if the time comes when you need our pastoral team, whether it's you're sick and in the hospital or you've got a family member in need or there's a funeral in your family, that one of these people or all of us will serve you, and that you will know that you are loved by the people of Prestonwood. Thank you for your giving. Thank you for your faithfulness. If you're a guest today, please go to Guest Central. We have a free buffet. It's Thanksgiving Day theme out there today down in Main Street. And if you're a first-time guest, you get a freebie today. And all guests, we want you to know you're welcome online. Thank you for joining us today. Many from many other countries. This is Thanksgiving week here in America. It's a national holiday. And we're going to be celebrating today and every day our gratitude to God. But this week, when you gather with your family and friends, be sure and pray and ask God to bless you, and then that you would be a blessing. We are blessed to be a blessing. And so with everything coming up, we've got the tree lighting tomorrow night. That's going to be a great event, a new holiday tradition here at Prestonwood. We'd love for you to come, bring your family, invite your neighbors. Then we've got the gift of Christmas. We have Christmas Eve services. And yes, oh yes, in case you were wondering, you know me long enough, you probably didn't have to wonder about what I'm going to tell you. But yes, we're going to have a service on Christmas morning, the 25th. So you come on Christmas, you bring your family on Christmas Day, because we're going to be here worshiping the Lord. It's going to be a great season in the life of Prestonwood. So Charles, lead us in prayer, and let's give thanks for the privilege of giving. You know, thanksgiving is related to giving. So it's even in the word, thanksgiving. So we give our praise, we give our persons, our lives, and then we give our possessions because we're grateful. Charles, lead us in prayer.
Pastor, I want you to know on behalf of our team, we count a privilege to serve our church and to serve under your leadership. So let me ask you to join me in prayer. Father, it is with grateful hearts that we stand before you today and gather in your presence. And we know that we gather with your church that's meeting all around the world today. And it is our prayer, Father, that you would receive all the honor and glory and praise that you deserve, that you would find people with repentant hearts and with a desire to obey your word and to obey your guidance and your direction in our lives. And we ask that as we gather in your name, that you would fill us with your spirit, as you did with Adam in the Garden of Eden and Ezekiel in the Valley of Dry Bones and Jesus in the empty tomb, that you would breathe life into your church today, that you would empower us to be your people in this world, that we would light a candle in the darkness, that we would advance the kingdom of God, that we would share the gospel with those that need it the most. And this we pray in the matchless and the powerful name of Jesus, and for his sake, amen and amen.
my words fall short. I've got nothing new. How could I express all my gratitude? I could sing these songs as I often do, but every song must end, and you never. So I threw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that I have is a hallelujah, hallelujah. And I know it's not much, I'm nothing else fit for a king, except for a heart singing hallelujah. I've got one response, I've got just one move. With my arms stretched wide, I will worship you, oh yes. So I throw up my hands, praise you again and again. 'Cause all that
inside of those love, get up and praise the Lord.
Come on, stir it up.
Here we go.
Oh, come on, my soul.
We clap our hands to you today, Lord. We bring you a grateful heart that you, the sovereign Lord of all, who spoke all things into existence, that you are mindful of us and that your presence would come here and be with us today in every moment. It's beyond our ability to understand, but we bring you grateful hearts today. We know that you're working all things for our good and your glory. It's in your name that we come. It's in your name that we sing. It's in your name that we are forgiven and set free. It's in your name that we are healed. Thank you for being with us. Beautiful, beautiful, wonderful, powerful name.
Heaven without us, so Jesus, you brought heaven down. My sin was great, your love was greater. What could separate us now? What a beautiful name it is. What a beautiful name it is.
It's a leper. Stay back.
Cover your mouth. Don't breathe his air.
Don't come any closer.
It's okay, John. It's okay.
Rabbi, you cannot. His disease, you can't.
Please. Please don't turn away from me.
I won't.
Lord, if you are willing, you can make me clean. Only if you want to, I submit to you. My sister, she was a servant at the wedding. She told me what you could do. I know you can heal me if you are willing.
I am willing. Be cleansed.
I knew it. What can I ever do?
No. Do not say anything to anyone.
You don't seek your own honor?
Please just do me this one thing.
But what do I tell people?
Go, show yourself to the priest. Let them inspect you and see that you are cleansed. Make the proper offering in the temple as Moses commanded. And go on your way.
Who has an extra tunic? Just one of you. That's enough. Green is definitely your color. Not too shabby.
From The Chosen, and what you have just seen is the miracle that took place recorded in Luke's Gospel, the 5th chapter, when there was one leper who was healed and miraculously delivered. Our text today is from Luke's Gospel, chapter 17. And this is not the healing of one leper, but it is the healing times 10 of one leper. 10 lepers. We don't know if they were all men or both men and women, but a group of lepers who were miraculously delivered from this terrible disease by the word of Christ. And the one who returned thanks. I suppose if I was entitling this message, the best title would be Returning Thanks, because there was one who returned to give thanks to God for his grace and with gratitude. Grace and gratitude are inseparably linked in Scripture and in our lives. When we have experienced the grace of God, we overflow with gratitude to God, not just a day, but forever. We are forever grateful. And so this message is all about Jesus, in the story of Jesus, and his grace and our gratitude. What if I gave you a pill or recommended to you a miracle drug that would make you happier and healthier? would improve your sleep, your work productivity, your creativity, even your longevity, that would lessen your physical pain? What if there was a drug like that, that advanced your career, that made you a better husband, a better wife, live in relationship, that would assist you in decision making? What if there was a drug like that? Would you take it? Well, it's not in a drug, it's in the praise of God. Not in a pill, but in the praise of God. Because gratitude, scientifically proven, as Thanksgiving gratitude has been studied by professionals and scientists and physicians, and it is true that gratitude is not only the healthiest of all human emotions, but it is physically good for you. So when you give thanks, when you are a grateful person, then all these benefits come from the blessings of God. When you learn to live in perpetual praise, the psalmist said, I will bless the Lord at all times, and his praise will continually be in my mouth. I learned those verses a number of years ago and have practiced them from that day forward to this day. Blessing the Lord at all times, praising him in everything. The psalmist went on to say, oh, magnify the Lord with me and come, let us exalt his name together. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Michael Neal wrote that song, to say so. Redeemed of the Lord say so. It really means to declare it, to say it, to shout it out, to preach it, to proclaim it. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, for we have been delivered from our enemies. And therefore, we give thanks always. Luke 17, verses 11 to 19 is a beautiful and wonderful story with a dark, ugly backdrop, but a beautiful and wonderful conclusion. Verse 11 says, on the way to Jerusalem, he was passing along between Samaria and Galilee. This would have been no man's land, in effect. And as he entered a village, he was met by 10 lepers who stood at a distance and lifted up their voices, saying, Jesus, Master, have mercy on us. And when he saw them, he said to them, go and show yourself to the priest. And as they went, they were cleansed. Then one of them, when he saw that he was healed, turned back, praising God with a loud voice. Can you imagine? And he fell on his face at Jesus' feet, giving him thanks. And Luke, Dr. Luke, ever the physician for the detail, said, now he was a Samaritan. And then Jesus answered, were not 10 cleansed? Where are the 9? Was no one found to return and give praise to God except the foreigner? And he said to him, the one returning thanks, rise and go your way. Your faith has made you well. Literally, the word well is the word saved. Your faith has saved you. Your faith has rescued you. Your faith has healed you. It's all about grace and gratitude. First, grace. Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. He is a few days, a few months away from the cross and the resurrection. The reason that Jesus came to earth was to die on the cross, to rise again, to give us eternal life. For God so loved the world, he gave his only son. So Jesus, on this mission of mercy, is spending time in the Galilee, now between Galilee and Samaria. He's on his way to Jerusalem, where he will lay down his life. And while he is on his way, for these weeks or months, he has been preaching and teaching and healing and delivering people from demons and presenting himself as the Messiah, the Master, the Savior, and Redeemer. And so now, in these final months on earth, with this journey with Jesus, like these disciples, we encounter Not one, but 10 lepers. And this extraordinary miracle takes place. It is a miracle of glory, but the greatest miracles of all are the miracles of grace. First, a word about lepers. 10 lepers traveling together, socializing together, dying together, because there was no cure for leprosy in that time. It was a terrible skin disease, a bacteria-driven skin disease. And it was quite common in the ancient world, and there was no cure. Everyone who had leprosy was cast out from regular society and culture. People believed it was highly contagious, and so no one would get near a leper. A leper was required to identify himself when he walked near a group to say, "Leper, leper, leper." Condemned to die. It's a terrible way to die, this leprosy. In fact, if I would describe to you all the things about leprosy, what it meant to have leprosy and what it was like, you might lose your breakfast. There was a stench of death upon every leper, a skin disease. It was a disease that took appendages, killing nerve endings in the body, and open wounds and open sores. And maybe I'm already saying too much before lunch, but just to say, it was a miserable existence. To have leprosy and to live with leprosy and to die with leprosy. And not only this, but not only were you cut off from people, no family, no friends, except the friends that shared your fate, that shared your living death. But they were cut off ceremonially from the temple. And the priest had the responsibility, according to the book of Leviticus, of making sure that lepers did not infect others. And they were cut off from the holy place. So in effect, they're cut off from religion. They're cut off from a relationship with God in terms of the Jewish faith. They're just cut off from life. Have I painted this picture? One leper, then 10 lepers. Jesus confronts these lepers. These lepers standing at a distance. The walking dead. You didn't want to die of leprosy. You didn't want to live with leprosy. But as you look at this story, as all the stories of Jesus, it's a story of mercy. It's a story of grace, his goodness, his faithfulness, his tenderness, his love for people far from God, and his power to heal, his power to change lives. It's a wonderful message, this message of grace. So there is a story within the story. G. Campbell Morgan, the great Bible teacher of yesteryear, used to say every parable that Jesus taught, every parable is a miracle of instruction. You read the parables, and we'll get to a number of the parables of Jesus in our message series, but the parables are miracles, instructions. The greatest stories ever told were told by Jesus. And then he went on to say, and every miracle is a parable of instruction. In other words, the miracles, though real, the miracles happen. But the miracles are with significance to show us that who Jesus is powerful, that Jesus has power over disease, that he has power over death, that he has power over demons, and he has power over the storms and the disasters of life. Jesus is powerful. And here we see the wonder-working power of Jesus. No wonder Isaiah said in introducing him at his birth, before his birth, his name shall be called Wonderful. What a wonderful Savior. So this tells us this story. The story in the story is all about the Savior's love, his mercy and grace. Because like these lepers, we are diseased by sin. Jeremiah the prophet said, the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked or literally sick. We all have this congenital disease, this virus, this bacteria of sin that is in us. And the Bible says the soul that sins, and that's all of us, will die. So it's a death sentence. Leprosy in that era was a death sentence. And with sin comes death. The wages of sin is death. Now, I know this is not what the world says. This is not the world view of the world. The world, maybe your own friends, maybe yourself, you think, well, sin is bad, but it's not that bad. Aren't people basically good people? No. For all are diseased and all are dying. We're all lepers in the sight of a holy God. Lepers would often cover their flesh, their wounds, their open sores with cloths. And these rags were vile and filthy, diseased themselves. You know what God said about our human righteousness? Isaiah the prophet said, our righteousness is as filthy rags. Human righteousness are like the filthy rags taken off the sores of dying, diseased lepers. You get the picture? You say, well, that's offensive. Well, it's not offensive that God tells us that we're sinners in need of a Savior. It's not offensive that God loves you so much that He points out, if you go to the doctor and the doctor saves your life because he finds a dread disease, a deathly disease in your life, that's love and kindness to tell you the truth. So the truth is that we are lepers. But the good news is that His blood can make the foulest clean. And His blood avails for me. Leprosy is described when it is healed as cleansing. You notice that when we read it. They realized they were cleansed. Their skin is no longer filthy and diseased and dirty. They're beautifully smooth skin. And it was such an incredible miracle that take place, and it was all of grace. When these 10 lepers approach Jesus at a distance, they're shouting at Him, mercy, mercy. I've been a pastor for a long time, and so we deal with disease and death, and people ask me when they see, sometimes you see Dr. Jack Graham, said, are you a doctor? I said, yes, I am. I said, I'm a soul doctor. And I deal with the disease of the soul. But, you know, as a soul doctor, sometimes I've seen through the years such tragedy and such heartache and such inexplicable, unexplainable things. We've all had this in our lives. When you look at something, you look at a tragedy, and there are times, frankly, that there are no words. And what do we say? God, have mercy. Have mercy on this family. Have mercy on this little child who's sick. God, have mercy, because there are things that we cannot explain, and there's no human solution. There's no human solution for leprosy. God, have mercy, and there's no human solution for the disease of the soul. So we need mercy. We need grace. Grace and gratitude are vitally, essentially, and eternally connected. Here's something interesting about these stories of Jesus healing the lepers. In the clip that you saw from The Chosen, recorded by Luke in Luke chapter 5, He healed him one way and touched that leper. And we're told that He touched the leper. He embraced him. Jesus is not afraid to touch lepers. God came very close to leprous sinners like you and me. That's why He came. So Jesus touched the lepers. But in this case, He didn't initially touch these 10 lepers. He told them to go to the temple and show themselves to the priests. He did that for one reason, to test their faith, and another reason, as an act of obedience when He spoke to them. But it was all a matter of faith. He said, your faith has made you well. But the fact is that he healed one way and the others another way. When you read the scriptures and these stories of Jesus, how he encountered individually, they all were a little different. Nicodemus' story, a righteous rabbi, is compared to a sinful Samaritan woman who was a failure at life and marriage. We talked about her last time. And so all the people that Jesus met, both rich and poor, he dealt with them at the point of their need. He dealt with them differently. And what I want to say to you about that and make a very important point is that Jesus doesn't deal with us all the same way. If we were to give testimonies here today of how we came to Christ, there are a multitude of ways, some as children, some as adults, some out of addiction, some out of self-righteousness, some out of church, some off the streets. And God may have used various tools and ways to get us to God, to get us to Jesus. It might have been a church service. It could have been a gift of Christmas presentation. It could have been a friend knocking on your door. I could go on and on, because this room and those watching online, just people met Jesus in various ways, and he doesn't treat people all the same way. Here's the point. There's only one way to the Father. Jesus said it in John 14:6. I am the way, the truth, the life. And no one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus isn't the best way to heaven. He isn't a way to heaven. He's the only way. He's the one way to heaven. That's what he said. But while there is one way to the Father, Jesus Christ, there are many ways to get to Jesus. You see that? So God, by his Spirit, moves in various ways in our lives to get us to Jesus. You may come out of religion. You may be a person completely of a different religion. I'm hearing stories in the Muslim world about dreams, supernatural dreams, in which Muslim people are meeting Jesus and seeing Jesus and finding someone to tell them the story of salvation. That's an unusual way, obviously. But whatever ways or paths God has given us to get to Jesus, then Jesus is the one and the only one who gets us to salvation. Salvation is in Christ alone. Neither is anyone saved apart from him. It's all of his grace. He is the only one who gives grace, not of works, lest anyone should boast. So these cry out for mercy, and that's what we need. They had no other hope, no other solution, no other way but Jesus. Their pathway was through a terrible disease. Sometimes God uses sickness and illness to get us to a place where we are desperate. They came to Jesus. They cried out, mercy, mercy, mercy. In salvation, God is sovereign. He will choose to use whatever means and methods and ministries to get us to himself. And so they are recipients of the miracle of grace. It's wonderful when we are physically healed by the hand of God. But greater than the miracles of glory, these great supernatural effects upon people's bodies, are the miracles of grace. The greatest miracle is his mercy. The greatest miracle is his salvation. It cost him his life. He poured out his life. He gave his blood to ransom us, to save us, to cleanse us. And every Christian in this room, we know something. We have been given this without merit. We haven't deserved any of this. None of it. The world thinks they deserve something. We know we don't deserve this. But Jesus gave us this gift, and we who were lepers, vile and unclean, are now made whole. And therefore there is this gratitude. All 10 lepers are healed at the word of Christ. They realize they are healed on their way to see the priest. There was no histrionics. There was no dramatics recorded by Luke. They just suddenly realize that they are cleansed. They are clean. So 9 go on their way, never to come back as far as we know, but 1 came back. 1 returned thanks. And he's shouting. There's a lion in his lungs. He's shouting with praise to God for this healing, this hope that he now has. And he falls on his knees and he clasps the body of Jesus and he worships him. And he's saying, no doubt, if you can imagine this, thank you, thank you, thank you. We saw it just a little bit in the scene from The Chosen. He represents every man and woman who has received grace in their lives and mercy from Jesus. The mark of a true Christian is someone who is forever grateful. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Thanksgiving can be felt, but it is better telt. He is saying it. He is shouting it. He is praising God. That's the mark of someone who has been saved by faith. Jesus then asked him the question, where are the nine? Where are the other nine? Because Jesus wants to make an important point for all of us. And that is, ingratitude is the height of pride and arrogance and selfishness. Where are the nine? 90% did not come back to say thank you, Jesus. 90% were selfish and walked away. Maybe that's the percentage of the world. I don't know. 90%. Paul talked about it in Romans 1:12, talking about the lost world, people without God, without hope. He said, when they knew God, they glorified him not as God, neither were they thankful. An unthankful heart is the sign of an unbeliever. If a grateful heart, a thankful heart, is the sign of a believer, an ungrateful heart is the sign of an unbeliever. And I don't know, I hope to see these in heaven because somewhere they believed and trusted in God, but Christ, but in my mind, 10 were healed, but only one was saved. 10 got their healing, but one got the healer. Amen. By trusting in Jesus. One came back to surrender his life to the Lord. The rest went on their way. We don't know what happened to them. All we know is they were ungrateful. And sadly, we see it today in the world, and sometimes we even see it in the church. People who have been graced, and rather than being humbly grateful, they are mumbly hateful. They don't rise and shine, they rise and whine every day. Negative, cynical, suspicious. Churches get like that. It's full of division and strife and people questioning and critical constantly about this, that, and the other. Not grateful for what God has done. Not thankful for the work of Christ in their lives and in their church. I mean, you know, this... You can come to church, you can find something to complain about. There's plenty to complain about, I'm sure. Or you can find the blessings. You can experience the richness of the grace and the fullness of the fellowship. I heard about a monk, a guy who went into a vow of silence. And in this particular monastery, it was 10 years of silence, and then they gave you two words. And so he went in the first 2 years, came out, and they said, okay, what do you have to say now after 10 years of silence? He said, bed hard. Noted. He goes back for 10 years of silence. 10 years later, he comes back. Said, now what do you have to say? He said, food bad. 10 more years, he's in silence. He comes back a third time. They say, what do you have to say now? And he said, I quit. And the head monk said, well, you might as well. All you've done is complain since you've been here. Complainers and cynics and critical. It's just not becoming of a man or a woman graced by God. If you would change your attitude to an attitude of gratitude. It would change your life physically, emotionally, relationally, and certainly spiritually. It's when we turn Thanksgiving to Thanksgiving every day and cultivate. I know it sounds cliche-ish by now. We've heard it so many times. But truly, cultivate this attitude every day of gratitude to God for all that He has done. It's all about your focus. Jesus looked at the man and He said, "Your faith has saved you. Your faith has saved you." It's our faith in Jesus Christ, in His grace, that saves us. And then it is our focus on the blessings that continues to make us whole. In the early days of the space program, an atheistic Russian cosmonaut went into outer space in one of those tin cans that they called spaceships in those days. It was bravery. But he came back from his short trip into outer space, a mile and a half up, basically. And he said, "We have searched the heavens and we have discovered there is no God." A mile and a half. "We have searched the heavens and there is no God." John Glenn, the American astronaut, went up a few months later and he came back and he said, they said, "What did you see up there?" And he said, "I see God everywhere." It's all about your focus, isn't it? If you know Jesus, you see God's wonders and God's greatness and God's glory and God's goodness everywhere. God inhabits the praises of His people. Do you want the presence of God in your life? You know what it is? P-R-A-I-S-E. The Lord inhabits the praises of His people, according to Psalm 22 and verse 3. So if you want to text God, if you want to know His text address, it's P-R-A-I-S-E. Praise puts us in the presence of Jesus and elevates us and shames the devil and fills our lives with hope. The psalmist says, Psalm 106, "Give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good." It doesn't say give thanks to the Lord for because you feel good, because we don't always feel good. It doesn't say give thanks to the Lord when you feel good. It says give thanks to the Lord because He is good. And the one who is good does good. And He's working all things together for the good to those who love the Lord and are called according to His purpose. And this is the reason that in every circumstance of life we can praise God. No wonder we're commanded in Scripture on multiple occasions to give thanks always. Because God is working in circumstances and conditions positively, purposefully in our lives. Romans 8:28 is right where it's always been in the Bible. He's working all things for good, and therefore we can praise Him, knowing that God's providential care and purposes in our lives will bring us into His presence. We will celebrate Him forever. Grace and gratitude. Clearly, this man's life is brand new. And so he lays his life at Jesus' feet. And he says, "Thank you, Lord." And Jesus said, "Your faith has saved you." Have you experienced this miracle of grace? And do you have the gratitude in your heart to always praise Him because of what He's done for you? I'm going to ask you to do today, online and on site here in this room, to do what this grateful leper did. When he was healed, he returned to say, "Thank you, Lord." I'm going to ask you to run to Him, to run to Jesus. Don't walk away, but to openly confess Him and follow Him by believing and trusting in Him. Run and return to Jesus and glorify Him with the rest of your life. It all begins with a grateful heart, and it will last forever. Charles Spurgeon was the great British preacher, and one time he was speaking to a woman about her salvation, her need for the Lord, and she was so talkative, this woman. She just kept talking. He couldn't get a word in edgewise, but finally he got through, and she slowed down enough to listen a little bit, and when she heard of God's amazing grace, she then bubbled with excitement. And she said to Spurgeon, "Mr. Spurgeon, if God saves me like that, then he will never hear the end of it." No, because of what Christ has done for us, Lord, you're never going to hear the end of it from us. We're going to praise you forever and give thanks with our families, our friends, our church, because we were lepers. We were lost. We were cut off. But now we're cleansed, changed. The blood of Jesus Christ, God's Son, cleanses us from every sin. And you can be forgiven and your life changed from the inside out and healed now and forever. So would you put your feet and your faith to work and follow Jesus? Would you bow your heads with me right now, every head bowed and eye closed? In just a moment, we're going to give an invitation, as always, and invite you to come forward and openly follow Jesus. One of the reasons we do this is that you would show gratitude. Is it possible to know this wonderful salvation and then turn away and walk away and not give thanks and not give praise to God? By coming forward, it's a way that you can give praise to God for saving you. I'm going to ask you to come. I'm going to ask you to come forward online. You're watching on a screen somewhere. Text this number, 74788, and type in the word Jesus, J-E-S-U-S. 74788, Jesus. And we're standing by to connect with you. And we'll give you materials and encouragement and prayer, and you can know Christ in your life. And in this room, I'm going to ask you to come forward today. Upstairs, we have ministers in the balcony ready to receive you and respond to your decision. On the lower level, we're right here. Our pastors are here. And I'm asking you to do today what that leper did, and that is to come to Jesus, to run to Jesus. And by coming forward, you'll be saying, "Thank you, Lord, because I'm putting my trust and my faith in you. Thank you, Lord, for loving me, dying for me. I believe you rose again. And right now, I want to live my life as an exclamation point of praise because of what you've done for me." Will you do that today? I believe many of you will. I'm going to ask, please, when we stand and begin singing, people begin coming forward, that no one be leaving or exiting the building. This is a tender time. It's a really sweet time. You don't want to miss it, nor do you want to discourage someone around you or distract someone around you so that they wouldn't come. So would you pray with us and stay with us all the way? Just a few moments. We're going to give this invitation. Lord, bring men, women, boys, and girls to yourself today. May we all be thankful and grateful and openly praise you. Jesus, thank you for all that you have done for us, and we will spend all eternity praising you forever for this wonderful salvation that we have in you, this relationship that we have with you. For we pray in Jesus' name, amen.
Thank you for joining us for worship at Prestonwood. As you heard earlier, if you made a decision for Christ, please text Jesus to 74788. We would love to connect with you and give you these great resources to help you grow in your faith. One is a New Believer's Bible with helpful notes to help you study God's Word. The other is a book by Pastor Jack Graham on the next steps to take as you pursue this new life in Christ. As we close, I'd like to thank you for your faithful giving to support Prestonwood and the work God is doing through our ministries. If you would like to give, text word GIVE to 74788 or visit prestonwood.org/give. It's been a joy worshiping with you, and we look forward to seeing you again soon.